Today's Shir Masechta is Vachem Dav Tzadik Zayin, and we will begin on Dav Tzadik Vav Amabez at the Mishnah at the bottom of the Yomit. Says the Mishnah of Tarif Neimer, we continue discussing the halachis of Marika Vishtifa that we've discussed already, that the Torah tells us that the vessels that were used to cook the karbonos had to be kosherized. The Torah uses the words Marika Vishtifa. Exactly what, when, where will be the subject of today's Shir Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that, and we'll pay attention to this question as we get into the Shir. There's really two ways of looking at this rule of Marika V'Shtifa. The simple way of understanding Marika V'Shtifa is because the blias, the absorption in the pots of the karbonos that were cooked in those pots become nicer. We know every carbon has a set amount of time by which it must be eaten. And now if you cook the meat in the pot, so at the time when the meat would become nicer, so too would the bli in the pot become nicer. That's why the Torah says that we have to kosherize the pot. That's the simple way of understanding this mitzvah of Marika V'Shtifa. But as Be'ezra Hashem, we learn today, Shir, we may understand that the obligation is a separate chiyuv, a separate obligation to do Marika V'Shtifa. So again, says Reb Tarif in our Mishnah, Bishul B'Tchilas HaRegel, if one used the pot from the beginning of Yontif, Yivashu B'Kol HaRegel, he may use the pot for the entire Yontif. What Reb Tarif means and why he says it, we'll see immediately in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem. V'Chom Raimim, Ad Zman Achila, until the Zman Achila. This too we'll see in the Gemara what the Chom mean. Marika V'Shtifa, when we speak about Marika V'Shtifa, says the Gemara, Marika K'Marika Sakois, V'Shtifa K'Shtifa Sakois. Marika means like the inside of the cup is cleaned, and Shtifa means like the outside of the cup is cleaned. The way most Rishonim explain this rule is regarding, we know that a Kois Shabracha, a Kois that's used for Kiddush, a Kois that's used for Birkas Hamazon, prior to being used has to be properly rinsed. And the Mishnah is saying that that's the way the Marika V'Shtifa should be done, the way that cup that's used for a Kosher Bracha should be used. There are Rishonim that explain Marika V'Shtifa K'Marika Sakois, that refers to when something non-kosher, when a cup is used for non-kosher, how it's rinsed. And there's a third pshat that I saw in the Rishonim, how Marika V'Shtifa is done when a cup is used for something that's kosher, but you want to properly rinse it. How that's done, that's how the Marika V'Shtifa have to be done. Marika V'Shtifa have to be done b'tzoinen with cold water. Hashvud ba'askala, the grill or the spit that's used to roast meat on it, Megillah b'chamim, has to be kosherized with hot water. And again, the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, we learned Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav, asked the obvious question. The halacha is that the basis for kashering, the basic principle used in kashering, is Kabbalah Kach Paltai. That the way what I want to kosherize was absorbed into the pot or whatever I want to kosherize, Kach Paltai, that's how I have to get the absorption out. And therefore, a pot that's used for cooking, for boiling, is kosherized by Hagolah, by putting it into boiling water. Something where there's no liquid in used in obtaining this absorption is kosherized with libun, with direct fire put on the pot, the dish that I want to kosherize. So the question is, a shvud va'askal, a grill, there's no liquid involved. So ask the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, shouldn't the kosherization be done through libun, not hagolah? So what does the Mishnah say, magilah and b'chamim? So the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah gives two explanations. One explanation is that there's a difference between how the absorption takes place. If the absorption was haterabala, or when it was absorbed with something kosher, versus a surabala, if what was absorbed was osur. Here, we're referring to a situation that this grill was used for kabbonis. The kabbonis, when the absorption took place, was kosher. So since the absorption was kosher, hagol is enough, libun is not required. However, the Gemara gives a different answer. That not just was it heterabola when the absorption occurred, but says the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. We're referring here that the kosherization took place before it became nicer. And since the kosherization took place before nicer, what I'm kashering is something that's really not usher. Because before the expiration date, so to speak, it's not nicer, and kosherization is really not required. Since it's at that period of time, Hagola would be enough. Makes the Mikdash Tavid, says the Mikdash Tavid, a very important issue, a very important point, interesting point. He says as follows. He says, what we just said was that for a Kohen who wants to use this pot, since the absorption is not yet nicer, the river, therefore, the kosherization could take place with Hagol. He says, but what about for somebody who's a Yisrael, who may not eat kachim, or somebody who is even a Kohen, but he's Tomei, who may not eat kachim? For him, it's always awesome. And therefore, he says a very interesting point. He says, if a Kohen is going to want to use this pot, that indeed, since for him right now there's nothing wrong with this pot, Hagola would be enough. But someone else who may not have noise, who may not have kachem, I mean, for him, the pot even at any point has belias that he may not partake of, and Liban will always be required. Ask the Gemara. We've learned that the Torah, when it requires Marika Vishtifa, the Torah is telling us, before it becomes, by the time it becomes nicer, you have to do Marik Vishtifa to get that Belia out. Rav Tarfon says the entire Yontif is fine. Ask the Gemara, my Talmud Rav Tarfon, why is the basis of Rav Tarfon that he says that you don't have to have the Marik Vishtifa once it becomes nicer? Answers the Gemara, the Amakra, because the Pasuk, when it speaks about Yontif, says, Ufanisa Babaiker, Velachta Lalecha. Hakasav Asla Kula Baikerechad. The Torah treats the entire Yontav as one long period. And Rashi explains why. Because you can't go home the first day in the morning. Because going home would involve an Issat Chumim. So it can't mean that you go home in the first morning. It must mean go home after Yontav. The Torah is treating the entire 7 days of Yontav as one period of time. Tosfos has a problem with Rashi's Pshat. First of all, Tosfos says that Tchumim is not an Issa D'Raisa. Tchumim is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. Furthermore, Taisva says, not everybody lived out of the Tchum from the Beis HaMikdash. There were people that lived in Yerushalayim, which was within the Tchum of the Beis HaMikdash. Thirdly, as Taisva says, yes, the first morning in of Yontif, since it's Yontif, you can't go home, it's a problem of Tchum. But why do you have to wait for Isru Chag? Why do you have to wait for after Yontif? Chol HaMoed, there's no Issa Tchumim. And therefore, Taisva explains, since the halacha is that on Yontif, every Jew had to bring Shalmei Chagiga, and Shalmei Chagiga, if you didn't bring it the first day, you could bring it any of the other days of Yontif. That is the reason why Rav Tarfon considers the entire 7 days of Yontif as one period of time. Another pshat that Rishonim suggest is because the halacha is that when somebody brought a carbon, he had to stay over the night after he brought the carbon. When you bring on Yontif a carbon, those Rishonim suggest, you have to stay in Yerushalayim for the whole Yontif. So since you have to remain in Yerushalayim for the whole Yontif, that's why it's considered one long period of time. Ask the Gemara, if so, Maskel Rav Chtuvi Ba'ami, V'chiyein Pigel B'regel. The halacha is, will it be, as Rav Chtuvi, if you bring a carbon on Yontif, and you have in mind here that after the first day by Karban Chatas, after 2 days by Karban Shlomim, which we've learned extensively in Am Sechta, makes the carbon into pigle. Will it not be pigle by Anyantif? The Einoise Varegel, and if you leave it past the right amount of time, does it not become nicer? So ask the Marvachitem, Achinami, maybe indeed, that the regular halacha pigle and nicer that we've been learning in this Sechta will not apply to Kabbalah's brought on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, V'tanya Reb Nosson Omer, Le'amer Reb Tarfon El Zubilvat. Reb Tarfon said only regarding this specific halacha of Marika B'Shtifa is all of Yontif considered one period of time, not regarding any other halacha. So again, the question is, what's pshat in this Gemara? What's pshat in Reb Tarfon? Says the Gemara, Ek Reb Nachman Amar Bavua. Da Reb Nachman Amar Bavua, every day they Yontif, they constantly use the pots. Because in Yontif there was abundance of kabbonis, and when using the pats all of the time, the pats kasher themselves out. Which means as follows, just to first understand Parshat Pshat. A carbon chattis is brought today in the morning, it's Yontif. Because there's so many kabbonis brought on Yontif, it's the time that everybody was in Yerushalayim, everybody, as we just said a moment ago, had to bring kabbonis. So in the afternoon, we're careful to bring a carbon shlomim. So the carbon shlomim has a later amount of time, a longer amount of time by which it can be eaten. And by cooking the carbon shlomim in that pat, that by tonight it's going to be nicer. By tomorrow morning it's going to be nicer because the carbon chattas, this man is yoyim v'layla. By using it for the shlomim, it koshers the pat. What is a kasher the pat? So the Rishonim give some basic halachas. They explain that since the meat of the shlomim and the meat of the chatos is min b'minoi, is the same type, it's easy to do kashering. Furthermore, they explain that this is a situation which is known as a nat bar nat, a nois and tam bar nois and tam. Because what happens here is as follows. You're cooking the karma chatos in the pot, the tam, the taste of the karma chatos goes into the walls of the pot. Now it's a nois and tam, that terah, because when that tam went into the walls, the karma chattis was still within the time it may be eaten. Now when I cook in the afternoon the karma shlomim, the tam goes in, it's still tam mutter, and it goes into the shlomim. And that by not the hatera is permissible. Of course, the paiskim, the mefarshim, all point out that this is not the l'chatchila the gawait to kasher. The l'chatchila the gawait to kasher is by boiling out the pot with water. That's the, after 24 hours of not being used. Here we're talking the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're referring to a situation where there was a need for all of these pots, and to have to kosherize them would be very complicated, so the basic halacha of koshering is acceptable. And in fact, the Mefarshim go on to explain, now we could understand why the Chachamim don't agree with Rav Tarfon, because as we just described, the koshering here is not really a proper kosherization. We didn't use water. The Gemara at the end of the previous blot discussed kashering with Sharmashkin. Certainly kashering with Sharmashkin is not the l'chatchila the gawait to kasher. We, the Rishonim point out, are concerned that we may not kosher the pot all the way up to where the first food was in. The second food, in other words, may be left at a level lower than the first food. Given all of these concerns, the Chacham said, no, do the real, regular Marika V'shtifa, the regular kashering. That's one way of understanding the opinion of the Rabbanim. But another way that the Echroinim explain why the Rabbanim do not agree with Rav Tarfon goes back to a point that I made when we learned the Mishnah. When we learned in the Mishnah, we said that there are opinions that explain that when the Torah requires Marika V'shtifa to be done, what the Torah means to teach us is that there's a special mitzvah, nothing to do with kashering. There's a special mitzvah that if you want to use the pot of kachim, you have to do marika v'shtifa. So the Rabbanan are saying for Tarfon, perhaps you're correct technically that doing the marika v'shtifa the way you describe is a proper kashering. But there's a special din that the Torah says by kachim pats on marika v'shtifa, that doesn't go away. So Chum said, adz manachila. My comer. Ask them, what are the Chum saying? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, Mamtan Lei Ad Zman Achila. We wait until the Zman Achila, until the time that the Beliyah becomes nicer, for Hada Avalei Marika V'shtifa. Now there's a very big Machloikus Rishonim, what the Girsa of the Gemara here is, and again, that Machloikus will have relevance to what we've been discussing. The Girsa of Al Gemara is that you do the Marika V'shtifa after the Zman Achila. Why? Because until the Zman Achila, the Beliyah is not nicer. And since it's not nicer, there's no need to do Marika V'shtifa. Because the entire purpose of doing Marika V'shtifa is because of nicer. But there's another Girsa. The other Girsa says that before it becomes nicer, you already have to do Marika V'shtifa. Why? Because there's a special mitzvah of doing Marika V'shtifa. Menonimili, how do we know this? Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Yochanan Mishum Abba Yosef ben Abba, Ksiv Umurik B'shutav, Do Marika V'shtifa, Ksiv Kozoch B'kaharim Yochel. What does this juxtaposition of these two psukim teach us. Mamten loy ad zman achila. Wait to the zman achila for hava over le marika shtifa. So we learned in the Mishnah that how is the marika and shtifa done? Marika ka marika is a kais inside the cup. Shtifa ka shtifa is a kais rinsing it from the outside. Tana rabbanan. Marika ve shtifa betzoinen. It has to be done with cold water, divar rebi. The chamim aimrim. Marika bechamim. First used hot water, and then shtifa betzoinen, and then rinse it with cold water. Ask the Gemara my tamad rabbanan. First using hot water, and then using cold water. Mida da hava giuli akum. Just like when you kasher. When you kasher, first you kasher with boiling water, and then you rinse it with cold water. V'Rebbe Yimelach, says Rebbe, Hagola like Kamina. I'm not speaking about the Hagola aspect of these pots and pans. Ki Kamina, I'm focused on Mrika V'Shtifa the Basa Hagola. That the Mrika V'Shtifa after the Hagola should be done with cold water inside and outside. So here too, there are achrayim that want to suggest that the machloikus of Rebbe and the Rabbanan is around the issue that we've been discussing. The Rabbanan hold that the purpose of Marika v'shtifa is to kasher the pot from the bleis of Nisa. And therefore the Rabbanan say, follow the regular procedure for kashering. Hot water and then cold water. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rebbe says it has nothing to do with kashering. Of course, kashering has to be done. What Rebbe is saying is that the Torah gave us a special din of Marika v'shtifa on pots that were used for kachin, and how should that Marika v'shtifa be done? With cold water. The Rabbanan that disagree with Rebbe, that Rebbe said you should have to do it inside and outside with cold water, say to Rebbe, if that was what the Torah meant, in kein lichtav kra o murak murak o shutav shutav, the Torah should have used the word murak twice or shutav twice. My umurak v'shutav. What does the Torah mean to say by murak v'shutav? Shema mina marika should be done with chamin, with hot water. V'shtifa should be done with tzoinen, with cold water. The Rebbe, how does Rebbe defend himself? Says the Gemara, iksev murak umurak. If the Torah had used the same word twice, have a mina treis mina murak. Pour cold water inside the pot twice. Or, if the Torah would have used the word shutav treis, you should pour cold water outside twice. The kach tziv. That's why the Torah specifically writes the words umurak v'shutaf, lemerach, to teach us marika kamarika sakois, cold water inside the cup, and shtifa, shtifa sakois, outside the cup. But this Gemara, the Rishonim discuss, is the basis for a very important halacha. As I said earlier in the shiur, when you kasher, how are you supposed to kasher? Hagola. How is a gola supposed to be done? Whatever you're kashering, you're supposed to put into a pot of boiling water. However, the halacha is, and people aren't that familiar with this halacha, that after you have placed the vessel that you want to kasher into the boiling water, you're supposed to rinse it with cold water. And the Rishonim discuss as to why. One pshat that the Rishonim already suggests is because what does kashering do, as I said earlier in the shiur? By kashering, you're drawing out the blia from inside the pot. If you're not going to rinse off that blia, it's going to go right back into the pot. By rinsing it off with cold water, you avoid the problem of that blia going back into the pot. The Rosh has a problem with that approach. He says, if that's the purpose of rinsing it with cold water, then what have you accomplished? As soon as it comes out, it's going to go right back in. You can never be quick enough with the rinsing. And therefore, other Rishonim suggest that we're not concerned about it going back into the pot. Why we're not concerned? They explain because for the kashering to be an effective kashering, you have to have 60 times water against the walls of the pot. So whatever comes out is bottle. So you don't have to worry about that. Some Rishonim explain that you just want to rinse it off because those are bleis of Isser on the walls of your pot, and you want to rid yourself of those bleis by washing them off with cold water. But other Rishonim say that again, if those bleis are bottle in the water that which you use for kashering, we don't need to be worried about them. So why do we have to rinse with cold water? Because of our Gemara. And they explain that even though by kachim, the halacha is, you have to rinse twice, by other vessels, the vessels, regular vessels that we kasher, rinsing once is enough. That's what the Torah wants. Bekachim is there as a kasher, that you need twice. Says the Mishnah, Bishabai kachim v'chulim. If you cooked in your pot, kachim v'chulim. So the chulim may get tam from the kachim. Or kachim, 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 kalim. Or you cooked in your pot together, kachim, 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 kalim. Says the Mishnah, Im yesh b'benoisim tam, if there's so much kachim, kachim in this pot that it gives tam to the kachim, kalim, hare kalim n'chol k'chamur shabem. Which means as follows. Simple pshat in the Mishnah. You cooked in your pot, chatos and shlomim. If there is not 60 times shlomim versus the chatos, then the chatos gives tam to the shlomim, and the shlomim will have to be eaten like they were a korban chatos. Which means, number one, it'll have to have the same zman as a korban chatos. The zman of a korban chatos is yoyim v'layla, the zman of a korban shlomim is shnei yoyim v'layla echad. Korban chatos could only be eaten by zichrei kunim, male kohanim, in the azoro. All of those chumras will apply to this meat. Actually, it could work the other way around too. Why? Because let's say I brought the korban shlomim yesterday, and I brought the korban chatos today. So the zman for the korban shlomim is over by tonight. The zman for the korban chatos is only tomorrow morning. If I'm concerned that the chatos absorbs tam from the shlomim, this korban chatos that was brought today, cooked today, I will not be allowed to eat until tomorrow morning. I'll have to consume by tonight. And the same with the kachim and chulim. If the chulim obtained tam from the kachim, then they should not any longer be treated like chulim. They have to be treated like kachim. Harei akalim nacholim kachamurim shebehem, vein and tunim. However, marika v'shtifa are not required. Very difficult line that the Gemara is going to focus on. Veina paislam b'maga. That means that if we have a situation that I just described, you cooked chatos and shlomim together, and you didn't have 60 times shlomim versus the chatos, so the shlomim, as we explained earlier, now obtain the halach of the chatos, and now another piece of meat touches the shlomim, it won't affect that meat. Similarly, Rokik shenaga berokik. If we have a wafer of a korban mincha that touched another wafer of a korban mincha, v'chaticha, or one piece of meat of karbonis touched another piece of meat, they wouldn't cook together, they're just touching. Loikol harokik, v'loikol chaticha sasurim. The piece of meat or the wafer that touched the meat that was kachim, doesn't, or the meat that was posel, or the rocket that was kachim, or the rocket that was posel, does not become completely osur. El in a osur, it only affects the spat b'makom shebalo where they actually touched. The Gemara will explain this then. Ask the Gemara, my comer, what is the Mishnah teaching us? Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. Hachi comer, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Im yesh b'meneisim tam, if the Kachim, Kadoshim. There is no 60 times tam of Kachim Kalim versus the Kachim Kachim. So therefore the Kalim obtained tam from the Chamurim. And therefore the Halach will be Harei Kalim Necholim Kachamurim. Then the Kalim have to, as we explained in the Mishnah, have all of the rules of the Chamurim. And the Halach will be between a Marika V'Shtifa. Marika V'Shtifa will require. Upaislin the maga, and if they touch something else, then that means if the meat that was the meat that gives tam was osur, it'll make the meat that was mutter also osur, and if it touches something else, the issa will go further. Vetunin ain't by menaisin tam, but if you have 60 times of the kalim versus the chamurim, then ain't a kalim nechalim chamurim, then they don't have to be treated like the chamurim. Vein to the Marik v'shtifa, vein poislim b'maga. They won't have all of these halacha. Ask the Gemara, fine. Let's say you have 60 times kachim kalim versus kachi kachim. So ask the Gemara, nah, the kachi kachim lebo. It doesn't get treated like kachi kachim. But ask the Gemara, kachim kalim lebo. They're still kachim the kalim, and they should be treated like kachim kalim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abai, my ain't tuning the kamar, kachim kalim. Indeed, they're not treated like kachim kachim, our kachim kalim tunim. They will be treated like kachim kalim. Rav Amar, Rav says, Hamani, whose opinion does our Mishnah represent? Our Mishnah represents the opinion of Shimon, the Amar kachim kalim ain't tunim marika v'shtifa. Which means as follows, a very bechidish. We learned earlier in our parak, a machlaikas of the Tanakhama of Shimon. If this thing that the Torah said regarding Marika Vishtifa was said only by Kachim Kachim, or was it said also by Kachim Kalim? Rav Shimon's opinion is that it was only said by Kachim Kachim, not by Kachim Kalim. Says Rava, our Mishnah's din is very understandable. The Mishnah is teaching us that if you have 60 times Kachim Kalim versus the Kachim Kachim, so the Kachim Kalim retained the din of Kachim Kalim, and therefore since they retained the din of Kachim Kalim, Marika Vishtifa will not be required. Marika Vishtifa will not be required. What's the Chiddush? As the Rishonim say. So now we're going to have a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous Mishnah, following the opinion of Reb Shimon. And wherever we have a Stam Mishnah following the opinion of Reb Shimon, wherever we have a Stam Mishnah, that's the Halacha. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam L'Rava, according to Rava's explanation, that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Shimon, we could well understand, as the Gemara, points out the Gemara, Hanantani Kachim V'chulim. When the Mishnah had to give us two examples of the same concept. The Mishnah began with Kachim and Chulim, and Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim. To point out the halacha that we just said, that if they retained the din of Kachim Kalim, like if Shimon taught us, Marik V'shtifa will not be required, and we'll have a Stam Mishnah like Rav Shimon. El Labaya. But according to Abaya, that's not the point of the Mishnah. Because even the Kachim Kalim, according to Abaya, require Marik V'shtifa, ask the Gemara, El Abaya Tata Lomali, why do we have to give an example both of Kachim and Chulim, and Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim? Answers the Gemara Tzrichi. Ditani Kachim Chulim, had the Mishnah only taught us Kachim and Chulim, have a mina, we would say Chulim Hudavati Kachim. Since Chulim and Kachim are so very different, they're considered min b'minoi. Chulim huvat l'kotchim. The laminai, because they're so very dissimilar. Ava kotchim kotchim v'kotchim kalim, which are similar, emaloi. And the explanation the Mefarshim give, and the explanation that we've given previously. The Ran, famous Ran. The Ran says that when you have two different items coming together, so we can really look at it in two different ways, very opposite perspectives. We could look at it as a clash. We could look at it as they combine. So the Ran says, when they're the same, we say they combine. When they're different, we say they clash. So the Gemara is saying as follows. When we have Kachim and Chulin, which are so very different, so we say that we have a clash here, and if we have 60 times of one versus the other, it's Mevatlet. But when you have Kachim and Kachim, since they're so similar, don't look at it as a clash. Look at it as a combination. And if, even if you have Shishim, it shouldn't make a difference. Vitana, on the other hand, says the Gemara, if we had only the case of Kachim, 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 Kalim, have a mean of Kachim, who dalim levatu Kachim. Since this is at least Kachim, it has the ability to be mevatel. Ava Chulin, Emaloi, Chulin doesn't have that ability, Tzrichi. So the Mishnah spoke about a rokik shigir barokik. One wafer touched another wafer. Tana Rabbanan, however, explains the Braisa, the Pasuk says, Kol HaSheyiga Yochel Afilu Shleibala. Even if there was no absorption from one to the other, it should be Aser. Tamaloimer, that's why the Pasuk says, Bibisara Achi Yivla Bibisara. Until it actually is absorbed in the meat. That means, for there to be an Iser, Rashi explains that what is the case? That you have a Karban Shlomim, you have a piece of hot Karban Shlomim meat, and you smear on it fat from a Karban Chatos, so there's real absorption. So Rashi over here, that must the Mefarshim point this out, there are two ways of understanding this Gemara. One way of understanding the Gemara is that this Gemara teaches us a Heter Mitzdarf L'Isser. The Shlomim is considered the Heter, because it has a longer Zman, it's Kachim Kalim. The Kachim is the Chatos is considered Isser, and the Gemara is teaching us the concept of Hetem Mitzdarf L'Isser. Others say that the concept, another Gemara, remember, it's machlokes or sugyas between Masechet Chulin and Masechet Pesachim. Other ways of understanding the Gemara, other way of understanding the Gemara is that it's a concept of tam kikr. The tam of the chatos goes into the ikr, is considered like real existence, and tam kikr, that's why it's asr. Yochel nagav mitzvah sachticha. So I would think that if there was absorption only on the upper layer of the piece of meat, ye kula pasul, that the entire piece of meat will become asr, tamlay yiga. Hanagei apostle. What does that mean? Chaytech es mokam shabal b'sara. You only have to cut off the mouth until where the absorption went. And those who have learned Yerodeya know that sometimes you have to cut off kedei kalipa, sometimes you have to cut off kedei natila, different levels of absorption depending on how hot it was, what type of food it was sharp food, that's the mouth that has to be cut off. There's a very beautiful vart from the Baal HaTanya on this Gemara. He says as follows, our Gemara is teaching us that absorption of kachin has to go all the way in for it to be considered absorbed. He says when it comes to tumah, you don't need to have absorption. That means, if somebody just comes into contact with tumah, if somebody just touches a sheretz, if somebody just touches a mace, he becomes tameh. What is the lesson? This is a tremendous lesson. He says it's unfortunately a lot easier to become tameh than to become kaidish. So to become tameh, as soon as you just touch the tumah, any exposure to tumah brings tumah. For kaidish, you have to have achiyivla. It has to be absorbed. It's much to get kedusha. It's not enough that you get exposed to kedusha. You have to absorb the kedusha. The pasuk continues to say, "Bepsara v'loy begidnim v'loy betzanis v'loy bekernayim v'loy betofayim." That these parts of the carbon, the meat, the bones, the hoofs, all the gidin, all of them don't give tam. And there's a machlok so achronim how to understand what the brisa means here. Some achronim say that we learn from here that there is ein begidin benois and tam, that they don't have the ability, sugis himself, the chulum, shem we learned, that they don't have the ability to give off tam. That's one pshat that the achronim give. Another pshat that the achronim suggest is that they do have the ability to give off tam. But that tam, the Torah is mechadish, is not a tam asr. One more very important point before we go on to the next sugya. Our Gemara has been teaching us that if we use the pot and we cook in the pot, if it's considered a technical kashering, it's kashering, as we discussed extensively earlier in the shir, says the Gra. From here we learn a very important halacha. The Gra says from here we see that kashering doesn't require that you should have in mind that you're kashering. A kashering is a fact. If what you did affects kashering, the fact that you had no intention to kasher, you just intended to cook in the pot, but that cooking in the pot affected a kashering, is considered a valid kashering, even though there was no specific intent to kasher. Yigdash, we learned further in the pasuk lios kamo hokeitzad im psulahi. If this piece of meat comes in contact with a piece of meat that's posel, tipasel. Vim ksherihi, if it's kosher, toichel kachamishaba, it's treated like the more serious piece of meat. Ask the Gemara, baramai. Ask the Gemara. Let's think about this. Nicey essay, velitchelois essay. There's an essay to eat meat that's kachim. There's a lois essay not to eat kachim that's possible. So ask the Gemara. In this case, let's think about it. We have this piece of meat that absorbed tam possible. So the essay of eating the meat should be doicha, the lois essay of eating possible meat. Why is the halacha that it should be discarded? So there's many, many points to make here. Firstly, the Rebbe Tam asks that the meat, there's also a mitzvah essay to burn meat that's posel. So it's not just an essay versus a lois essay. It's an essay versus a lois essay v'essay. Says Reb Baruch Tam, the mitzvah of burning kachim that's posel, says Reb Baruch Tam, is only by kachim that's be'en. Here the kachim are not here. They're only a bliya. There's no mitzvah to burn kachim that are posel that are not physically here. Furthermore, the mefarshim point out that why don't we say that we should eat the meat shloi kederach hanoah, not in a normal fashion? And if you eat something not in a normal fashion, by macholas asuris, it's not considered that you did an aveira, at least midoraisa. Say the mefarshim from here, we see that just like there's a mitzvah, just like there's no aveira to eat something shloi kederach achila, there is no mitzvah when you eat it shloi kederach achila. So the Gemara can't give that suggestion. Furthermore, Shagzarye asks a question. What is the concept of Esei Doichalaisa say? What is the classical case? Mar Masechta Yevamos, at the beginning of the Masechta, says that the classical case is Klayim B'Tzitzis. That let's say the Tzitzis could only be made with Klayim. The Big De Kahuna could only be made, the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol could only be made out of Klayim. So the Mitzvah say of the Big De Kahuna of the Tzitzis is Doichalaisa say. So it's in one and the same. Here it's not one and the same. The mitzvah say is on the kosher meat. The lois say is on the possible. You don't say esed dechalois say if it's not one and the same object. So the fact that Tori Evans says from here we see that that isn't the requirement to say esed dechalois say. Others say that no, that what heter mitzdarfel isser teaches us, it's a very bechidish, that the isser and the heter become one and the same. The Karen Oyer says this far. So it's not to be looked at that the isser and the heter are separate. It becomes one new combined piece, and it's like the tzitzit, it's like the avnet. But then, there's a very interesting discussion, very relevant discussion. The Chasam Sofer discusses this, the Beis Halevi discusses it. He says that why don't we say that you should eat the cut carbon a chatzi kazayis at a time. So if you eat the carbon a chatzi kazayis at a time, so you'll get the mitzvah, but the aveira, you only get if you eat a kazayis. Chasam Sofer is a question. Says the Chasam Sofer, from here we see that the mitzvah is only when you eat a kazayis. There is no mitzvah to eat less than a kazayis. Beis Halevi disagrees with Chasam Sofer. He says that yes, we're the Torah, like by matzah. The Torah says you have to eat a kazayis of matzah. So if you eat less than a kazayis, you didn't do the mitzvah. However, says the Beis Halevi, by kochim, the din is not to eat, that you have to eat a kazayis. The din is, you have to have that the entire carbon should be eaten. And the Beis Halevi has a very nice raya. What would be if you ate one kazayis of the carbon? A carbon is made up of many kazayisim, says the Beis Halevi. Of course, if just one kazayis was eaten, you weren't becoming the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is that the entire carbon should be consumed. Which is a very relevant issue. We've discussed, I think, this issue previously. What would be the halacha if somebody can't eat a kazayis of matzah? Is there any point in eating less than a kazayis? According to the Beis Halevi, where the mitzvah is a kazayis, and less than a kazayis is no mitzvah, so there's no point. Of course, the Paiskim disagree. The Paiskim say that a person should eat, if he can't eat a kazayis, of course, you're supposed to eat a kazayis, but if you can't eat a kazayis, you should eat a chatzi kazayis. You should eat whatever you can. However, I saw the Paiskim make a very interesting point. When we eat the matzah by the Seder, we make a bracha. What is the bracha we make? Al achilas matzah. Say the Paiskim, such a person who knows that he can't eat a kazayis should say a mitzvah matzah. He shouldn't say al achilas matzah because he knows he's not going to be able to do the achila. Where does the question come up again? This is less relevant. As let's say you have a situation where you have two people. You have two people, and they're in a situation where they don't have only kazayis matzah. So what should they do? So certainly the Pais can say, interesting, that let's say I'm with you, and we only have one kazayis matzah, and this kazayis matzah belongs to me. I shouldn't give it to you, even though normally you're supposed to share. Here, there's no point in sharing, because if I give away from my kazayis, I'm not going to be mekayim the mitzvah. But what happens if we both own this kazayis together? Is it better that we should each only eat a half a kazayis, although the way we're saying neither of us is going to be mekayim the mitzvah? Or should at least one be makna his share to the other person, that at least one of us will be mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimus? So again, the Gemara's question back to our sugya is, why is the essay of eating the kachim not doiched the loisa say of the pasul. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rava ain esed doiched loisa say should be mikdash. There's no din of esed doiched loisa say in the Beis Hamikdash. So it's important to understand why. And furthermore, besides understanding why normally esed doiched loisa say, why over here the mikdash do we not say esed doiched loisa say? The reason why we normally say esed doiched loisa say, so the Sefer Charedim already says. He says an essay has much more power than a loisa say. Why does an essay have more power than a loisa say? Because an essay represents, because a person doing mitzvahs comes closer to Hashem. By doing averus, you only haven't separated yourself from Hashem. That's why essay doicha loisa say. So why don't we say this in the Beis HaMikdash? So there are many explanations. I'm going to quote three. One explanation is it's a gezeiras hakasev, as we'll see in the Gemara. Another explanation is as follows. Actually, by essay doicha loisa say, let's think about every situation of essay doicha loisa say. It's not a l'chatchiladiga situation. It's not a preferred situation. I just have a challenge. I have an essay and I have a loisa say. I don't know what to do. So I say esedoicha loisa say. So everywhere else, doing something even not in the most preferred manner is fine. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no option to do anything but perfectly. Esedoicha loisa say is not considered doing it perfectly. But then there's a third pshat. Interesting pshat from the Meshech Chochma. We think it's from a Chassidish Rebbe. He says a beautiful pshat. He says, what does a mitzvah say represent, and what does a mitzvah lois say represent? He says, a mitzvah say represents a hava. A person who loves Hashem wants to do his mitzvahs. What does mitzvah lois say represent? Yira. Hashem said not to do an aveira. We're frightened from doing an aveira. So he says, normally, a hava is a greater madrega than yira. Why? Because it's much harder to get to the madrega of a hava than to get to the madrega of yira. And therefore, essay, which represents a hava, is doich lois essay, which represents yira. Says the Meshech Chochma, brought in the Beis HaMikdash, with a hava to Hashem, the glory of Hashem was so very evident, the yira is harder than a hava. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdash, the lois essay supersedes the essay. Where do we see this concept that we don't say essay doicha loisa say in the Beis HaMikdash? Shenemar, the pasuk says regarding the Karban Pesach, v'etzem loisish ribot. Rishim Menashe Omer, echad etzem sheyesh b'mayach, whether the bone has in it marrow, v'echad etzem she'ein b'mayach, the halacha is you're not allowed to break a bone. Ask the Gemara, but why? Amai, neisi essay v'litches loisa say, why do we say essay doicha loisa say? Ela, ein essay doicha loisa say she'ein b'mayach. The essay is not doicha loisa say shebe mikdash. Ask all the mefarshim. One of the rules of essay doicha loisa say is that it has to be be'idna. Like the example I gave before. You're wearing the tzitzis that are shatnas. So at the same time you're doing the mitzvah say, you're also being over the mitzvah loisa say. However, ask Taisvis and all the rishonim, here, when are you over the loisa say? As soon as you break the bone. When are you mekayim the mitzvah say? Afterwards, when you eat it. So that's not esed doicha loisa say when they don't come at the exact same moment. So why does Gemara say that that's considered esed doicha loisa say? So Mefarshim Tosfos says, even though one of the basic rules of esed doicha loisa say is that it has to be at the same time, says Tosfos, that's only when it's possible. But if there's no other way of getting to the loisa say, getting to that say without doing the loisa say, even though they don't come simultaneously, they come consecutively, that's considered bi'idna. Others explain that when we break the bone to be able to eat the marrow, it's not considered that we have two actions here, breaking the bone and then getting out and then eating the marrow. It's like when you eat something. When you stick your fork into the food you're eating, are you going to say that sticking the fork is not part of eating? Of course. You have to get the food into your mouth. How do you get the food into your mouth? We're putting it onto the silverware. So similarly, breaking, it's not considered two separate acts. The breaking of the bone is a chelik of the achila. Rav Ashi Amar, Yigdash Esehu, the halacha that kachim, that apostle should be treated as kodesh and be left set, not eaten, is an essay. And therefore, we have a situation of ein essay doicha loisa say ba'asei. And therefore, that's why, even though maybe we should apply the concept of essay doicha loisa say, but here it's an essay in eating the pasul, There's also involved not just a loisase, but there's also involved a essay. And we have a rule that ain't as a doichel loisase v'asay.